Greetings again to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're now in the second lesson of this new series about the life of Christ, the law of God, the teachings, and the continuation, in essence, of the first series that we had earlier. And a lot of you have gone through it, that is, and hopefully all those who are going to continue will go through the entirety of the series also. And for those who have not gone through the first one, but begin from this section, we strongly urge all of you to go to the beginning and know the entirety of the story from the beginning until the end, and in essence follow the instruction of Christ. You know, you have to know how was it in the beginning, and in the beginning it was not so. You see what became later on, and unfortunately that's the reason why many people are confused. Well, anyway, we're talking about the fact that Jesus Christ was addressing his own people, and he was explaining to them that he is the one that originally came to Mount Sinai. He's the spiritual bread, you see, that came down from heaven. He was a spiritual manna, and he gave them, when he came at that time, spiritual food, as Paul was relating to the Corinthians, and for that matter, to all the other churches, all the people that were being grafted into the body of Christ, into the commonwealth of Israel. He was telling them, I do not want you to be ignorant, and we covered that last time, that our fathers were the first ones, long time ago. That's 1,500 years before that. They were the first ones that followed Christ. They followed Moses. They were baptized into Moses. They were baptized into the cloud. That's where God was. That's where Christ was. That's the same person. And they all ate the same spiritual food, same spiritual drink, and they followed the spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. And now Christ is standing in person, in the flesh, speaking to his own people, and he's basically telling them the same. I am that person that came down on Mount Sinai. Those who had eyes to see, they understood what he's talking about. And others, obviously, majority of them being blinded, they did not recognize him. You see, they did not recognize his teachings because long ago they began to rebel against it. And by the time he appeared on the scene, an awful lot of them were in confusion. They did not fully comprehend. But the ones that did understand, they followed him like Nathanael. You know, when he talked to him, the first thing that came out of his mouth when he told him, I saw you, you know, before I saw you sitting under the fig tree. You see, I've known you before I've seen you physically. And his first utterance was, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. He recognized him immediately that he is the very one that came down on Mount Sinai and married Israel. But not many were able to go through that. And until the Father opened their eyes to perceive and understand, comprehend who this is, the one that is standing before them, who that person really is, they did not know that he is the very one that descended to Mount Sinai, and he was their very God, their very creator. And so when he told them that at this point, that he is that flesh and blood, it is a spiritual flesh and blood that came down from heaven, and unless you eat his flesh and drink his blood, that is his teachings, his doctrine, his instructions, which he first gave them in Sinai, he said, they are not going to have life in you, that is life eternal. You see, and he, in essence, was referring to what he spoke through Moses, what Moses told them long ago, 1,500 years earlier. As you can read it in the book of Deuteronomy, the last book of the law, and we covered all that in detail as we went through the entirety of the book of Moses, verse by verse, from beginning until the end. And this is what Moses is telling to his people before they were about to enter into the land. In chapter 30, this is what we read, in verse 11 of the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses tells them, first in verse 10 he says, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, speaking about Jesus Christ, and also about the one that sent him, you see, they've known both at the time. As Moses later on referred to both of them when he, writing to the king of Moab and Edom and others, he basically told them that, you know, that our people, you know, were in Egypt, they were suffering, they were in bondage, and they cried unto the Lord. You see, speaking about the one that became the Father, it's to him that they cried, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and he sent an angel and delivered them. And who was that angel? The angel that appeared to Moses in the burning bush. The angel that accompanied them all the way. You see, that was one of his titles too, an angel. What does it mean an angel? It's a messenger. He was the one sent from God. You see, he was sent first and he came down on this earth and he created Adam and Eve, and he sent many times later on, and then he came down in person in Mount Sinai, and he married his people, sent from the Father again, the one that became known as the Father, the El Elyon, the Most High. And we covered that very thoroughly earlier again. You know, go through all that. You know, we do not need to repeat everything that we have done before that. So for those who are really interested, those who are really interested in eating the flesh of Christ and drinking his blood, they should go through the entirety of the story from beginning until the end, you know. For those who are just there for sake of curiosity, you're wasting your time. Might as well go to the movies and you might enjoy it a little bit more. You see, the way of God, the religion of God, the truth of God is not for those who are just curious. It's not for the religious hobbyist. It's for those who really want to dig in and wholeheartedly give themselves to the process until Christ is fully formed in them through his instructions and teachings which he gave from the beginning of time. The instructions that he received from the Father as he later on when he came in the flesh, he says, look, you know, everything that I'm telling you, it's not of my own. You see, whatever the Father told me to say, that's what I'm saying to you. Well, that's exactly what he told them in Mount Sinai. You see, everything that the Father gave him, that's what he gave them. And that's what Moses is saying, you know, this is the same person. And so when he's talking to the generation that is about to enter into the land, he says to them, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, because, you see, the forefathers didn't, and so they were going in circles in the wilderness for 40 years until they all died. But he said, if you, unlike them, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and that's the reason why we cover the entirety of it, word for word, from beginning until the end, you see, in order to understand what it means, Jesus Christ, he knew the hope of glory. Without it, you really don't understand it. A lot of people think they do. They're in utter darkness, and they think they are in the light. So it says, if you do it, and you obey this book which is written, you know, that is all these instructions, commandments, statutes, judgment, precepts, ordinances, you know, these are the terminologies that God gave to it, and people invented their own later on. He says, if you do that, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, speaking about the one that Paul said was Jesus Christ. You see? That's what you're reading here, Christian doctrine. You know, if you want to call it that way. That's what he's saying to them. Until you follow Christ all the way. And Christ put it in other words when he came later on. He said, unless you pick up your cross and you follow me all the way, you're not of mine. That's what he's telling them here. Unless you do that, you see, obviously, you are not going to have life. That's what he told them, Jesus Christ, when he came in the flesh. It's the same story, the same teaching. It's nothing new here. He's not inventing a new religion. He didn't come, you know, to Israel and give them one religion, then came again in the flesh and gave, you know, others another religion. He's the same person. It's to that end that he came, as we should read. In verse 11, he continues, Moses, for this commandment which I command you, why does he command Israel? Because God told him to command Israel. That's the reason why he says that. He's just passing it on. That's what the apostles were doing. You know, you do all the things that we have commanded you. And where did they get it from? From Christ. Where did Christ get it from? He said he got it from the Father. You see, it's one story, one book, one God, one Lord, one Savior, one doctrine, one teaching. And yet Satan came on the scene, and like in the beginning, he created confusion in the heart of men. And to this very day, people believe his lies. And that's why John was told by Christ later on in the book of Revelations, you know, that there is that devil, that serpent, that was there from the Garden of Eden, and he deceives the whole world. Everybody is deceived by him, with the exception of the very few. And yet the majority think they are walking in the light. And so he says, for this commandment in verse 11, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you. You see, it became a mystery, and that's what Paul was saying. That mystery was hidden for many. Why? Because they rebelled against the law of God. So they became blinded, at least partly. And so now he says, now we're making this mystery very clear. It's the same story from beginning until the end. God is creating man in his own image and in his own likeness, or somebody like to say it, God is reproducing himself. You see, he made man in his image and in his likeness. And so, you see man, you see God. You see God, you see man. You see? Man is not a monkey. Some people in their foolishness and deception and dark heart, they think they came from a monkey or a chimpanzee or, you know, whatever. Lovesick amoeba, as some, you know, would call it. You see? He says, that's not a mystery. It's not going to be a mystery. If you obey the commandments, it will not be a mystery. But if you do not obey the commandments, it will become a mystery. And that's what it became to Israel, because they became idol worshippers, the majority of their entirety of their history with their God into this very day. Though many of them think that they walk in the truth, and they do not. That's why blindness is still there to this very day. And so he said, if you do this commandment, it's not going to be a mystery for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? You see? It's not there, he said. You don't need to go there. Why? Because God came down from heaven on the mount, Mount Sinai, and spoke to you person to person. He spoke to you and you heard his voice. So it doesn't have to be a mystery. You see? So you don't need to say, you know, just like a lot of people saying, well, I need to find myself. And so they go to the mountains, so they go to the gurus in India or places here and there. And what do they find? But garbage. You see? That's not where you find God. That's what he's telling them there. It is not in, you know, that mystery, that truth, that God is reproducing himself and he gave you instructions and teachings that you should eat and drink. That's his flesh and blood. And if you do, he will become the hope of glory in you. He will become, you see, what you want to be, like him. He will become in you that kind of a person. And then you will become like him. And then when you are born into his kingdom, your spirit being, and you are just like your father, you know, like father, like son. And then he will say of you too, this is my beloved son in whom I am very well pleased. But he's not going to be pleased with people who reject his law and commandments, the very route through which they can become just like him. And that very route, or that very way, became flesh and blood. You see? And that's why he told them, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. That was the way of God from beginning until the end. That was a mystery. God is creating man in his image and in his likeness. He's not creating angels. He's got them already. He doesn't need more angels. Now he wants sons and daughters to be just like him in everything. That's why he's our Father. That's why he begets us. That's the mystery he's talking about. And only the very few among them understood it. Those who had the Spirit, those who were obedient, the majority did not. And so it says, you know, if you obey this commandment, it's not going to be a mystery for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear and do it. Nor, you see, you should hear it and do it. As Paul would later on said, it's not the hearer of the law, the hearer of the Torah, the hearer of the commandment that is going to be justified, but the doer. A lot of people have done away with the law in their own minds and hearts, and think, oh, well, all we need to do is just we hear. You know, we hear Christ, and we hear that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and we believe in him, and that's it. And Paul says, no way. Paul never taught any other doctrine, any other teaching, but that which was taught from the Garden of Eden, and then through Sinai, and through Moses, and through the prophets. And people in their ignorance believe otherwise. For the simple reason, because they are not obedient to the law of God. And when you do not obey, as David said, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. You read in Psalm 110, verse 11, I believe. And so, that's what he's saying here. Just like later on, even John himself said, you know, by this we know that we know him because we keep his commandments. That's, you know, the gospel of love. And then you read it, you know, in a more amplified manner, in specific, in his writings, you know, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, repeating that again and again and again. That's what Moses is saying here. This is the commandment that you should do, you should hear it and do it, all of it. He said, nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? He said, the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Because Christ came down on Mount Sinai and gave it to them, and he wanted them all that there was a heart in you. He told them, circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Listen to what I'm saying. Write it in your heart and obey it. Listen to it. Hear it. Walk in it until you become just like me. That's what he told them. Be holy as I am holy. And he showed them how. A lot of people in their ignorance came 2,000 years ago and began to teach us, you know, false teaching. You know, the law is done away with. We don't need it. That's old stuff. Well, that was the only way for them to become just like Jesus Christ, and that's the very thing that the apostles, all of them, every single one of them, barring none, taught all the time. They didn't teach any other gospel. That's what Paul was saying. If anybody else to the Galatians, he said, you know, comes and bring any other gospel, any other teaching, any other foreign, whatever, that is not the one that we brought you ourselves, let him be accursed. And for 2,000 years, people are being accursed, and they don't even know it. And they think that they are walking in the light, and they are the people of Christ, and they call themselves Christians. How pathetic. That's what Jesus Christ, when he stands before, when he stood before his own people in the flesh, that's what he was telling them. You see? And then later on, the Apostle Paul repeated these very words when he spoke to his own people. And you can read it as you go through his own writings. He repeated exactly the same thing in the book of Romans in chapter 10, in verse 8. He repeated the same statement. You see? And in those chapters, he was talking about the salvation of Israel, where all of Israel are going to be saved, not condemned, not thrown into the lake of fire, not go to hell, as people said about them, their ignorance and blindness. You know, there is a plan that God is working with. And when what he began is going to finish. And this is, in essence, what we covered in the specific series of the mini-series within the series of the law last time. Who and what is the true church of God? And unless you know the story from beginning until the end, you do not understand anything. You can kid yourself that you do. And when the time comes, you're going to have a rude awakening if you don't learn that ahead of time. And so when he speaks to them, Jesus Christ, this is what he's telling them. Look, you know, I'm that very bread that came down on Mount Sinai. I gave it to you and I told you to eat it and drink it. And that's what Moses told you. You know, it's right there. I gave it to you. You see, now that you heard it, walk in it, and it shall be in your hearts too. And then you wouldn't need to say, well, where can I go to get it? You see, just like the person that came to Christ, you know, what must I do to enter into life? What kind of a silly question is that? He said, I already told you that long in advance. Keep the commandments. That's the way to do it. And I gave it to you from the beginning of time. In other words, eat my flesh, drink my blood. That's what he's saying, which I gave you when I came down to Mount Sinai. That's how I make a covenant with your people, the people of Israel, and they're still, here it is, 1500 years down the road, and they're still in rebellion, and in ignorance, and in confusion, to one degree or the other. You see, not total blindness, as Paul made it very plain, you know, part, you know, the blindness only in part fell upon them, but they still have a lot of information yet, along with it, a lot of confusion too, and blindness. And that's why they did not recognize him. That is, the majority of them did not. Many of them did. That's why they followed him. You see? But the politicians, you know, the ones in charge, you know, they wanted all the power to themselves among the priesthood and the Pharisees and others. They're the ones that, in essence, began to neutralize this very presence and teachings and knowledge and understanding that their very God, who now came in the flesh, was disseminating to his own people. And gradually they were allowed to win the battle, win the day, but only temporarily. That's all it is. See? Few of them continue to follow him no matter what. And every generation, God continued to work with them until this very day, and then at the end of time, he's going to bring back all of them to himself, and he's going to continue to talk to them just like you read here. And so he's saying to them, he, in verse 56, again, the book of John, chapter 6, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. That's what he told them in Sinai. That's what he said through Moses again and again and again. If you will obey all these laws and commandments and all that, you'll have all the blessings in the world. And if not, you're going to have all the curses in the world. You're not going to have life. That's what Moses told them. And I said before you two ways. One to life, one to death. But he said choose life. He didn't say choose whatever you want. He said choose life. And obviously the majority did not, unfortunately, but that's not the end of the story either. Because God has a plan of salvation. He's going to bring them all back who died, not in the faith, some of them in the faith, majority not in the faith. He's going to bring all of them back in the resurrection, and he's going to restore all of his people to himself, as we're going to continue to read here. And so he says, as the living Father sent me, see, who is the one that gave him the instructions to give to his people when he came down on Mount Sinai? The one that is called the El Elyon, the Most High, later on to be known as the Father, because he begot Jesus Christ in the flesh. You see? He says, the living Father sent me. And as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds me, that who feeds on me, will live because of me. So he's made it very plain to them. All the teachings that he gave them were from the Father, and yet A false religion taught, well, the Father had his own religion, his own teachings, and Jesus Christ, our God, has another religion and his own teachings, and we follow that. We don't follow the Father's teachings. That's how blind and ignorant are the majority of so-called, you know, Christians. And Christ made it very plain. Everything that I teach you came from the Father. There are no two religions. There is only one. To begin with, he's the very one that came on Mount Sinai and gave it to them, Jesus Christ. The Savior, the Deliverer, the Redeemer. That's what he called himself. That's what he was known all the time. That's what Joshua means. God the Savior. He came and saved them out of their sins, out of their bondage, out of their ignorance. Ignorance brought them out of Egypt, and then he gave them a way of life that will give them life. Well, they rejected it. Most of them rejected it, and most of them went into idolatry. And so he comes back again now, not only to reintroduce, you know, those very teachings to them and magnify them, but to die for them so he can take them back to himself. That was the whole intent there, and the false religion called Christianity never understood it. But they will when the day comes. Because God is merciful to all, you know. A lot of people who were born into ignorance, what do they know? In verse 48, he continues, "This is the bread which came down from heaven," speaking about himself. And he did in Sinai, in the Garden of Eden, and he did in Sinai, and he did many times, you see, after that. And now he came in the flesh. He says, "This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna, which he himself gave it to them," you see. And they're all dead because that was physical things. You know, we all need to eat every day, otherwise we'll die. But he said that by itself would not be enough if you want to live spiritually forever. For that you need to have the spiritual manna. And he said, I'm it. I was it in Sinai and I'm it now. Unless you do, he said, you would not have life. But if you do, he said, he who eats this bread will live forever. You see? And they still did not understand what he's talking about. And a lot of them got offended. And he says to them, verse 63, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. So he's not talking about his own flesh and blood, the physical. He's speaking about the spiritual teachings. You see? And a pagan doctrine, you know, was invented later on about the doctrine of transubstantiation, you know, where the flesh of Christ and the blood of Christ become transformed into something else, and so they drink the blood, and they have the wafer and all that, as some people in New York would call it, a lot of baloney, not having any knowledge nor understanding of what it is all about. He's speaking about the teachings that he gave to them from the Garden of Eden, and then as a nation, as a people, he gave them in Sinai, that Paul talked about, that was spiritual food, spiritual meat, spiritual rock that gave it, and that rock was Christ, you see. He never talked about his own flesh. You know, people in their ignorance and confusion at the time thought he's talking about cannibalism, and they got offended and they complained. And so he's explained to them, it is the spirit that gives life. And he said, I'm not talking about, you know, my real flesh, my real blood. It's the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. See, the flesh of Christ profits you absolutely nothing. It's not going to give you any life because that's physical. Physical doesn't give spiritual life, and, you know, spiritual eternity. Spiritual life forever, that is. He says, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit. That's what the subject was all about. The words, the commandments, the instructions, the statutes, the judgments, the precepts that I gave you from the beginning of time, which you have rejected, for which I have now to come and give my life for you, to bring you back, so you would obey it, so you would eat it and drink it and become just like me. He says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. That's why I told the man, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. There is no other way. Just to say I believe in Christ is meaningless. The devil believes in Christ. Demons believe in Christ and they fear him and they tremble before him. They know that he is the Son of God. They know that he was sent from the Father. They know all those things that so-called Christians confess, and that doesn't do them any good. Because they do not obey him. They don't eat him. They don't drink him. They don't follow his instructions from A to Z. And therefore, they will not have that kind of life that he's promising to all those who would. And so any one of us who follows in the ways of the devil, just thinking, well, I just believe in Christ. So what? That doesn't mean anything. That's what James, you know, tells the people of his day. You know? You say that you believe in Christ, so what? You know, the devil believes in Christ too, and he trembles. You know, and the demons believe in Christ too, and they tremble, so what? That doesn't mean anything, that you believe in Christ, that you believe in God. You see? You obey him. That's the point. That's what Christ is saying here. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, not just believe in me, that means nothing. You see? If you don't, you have life, you would not have life forever. As simple as that, and that's exactly what Moses was telling them. And that's what Christ told them when he came down on Mount Sinai. If you will obey my voice and commandments, you read it in Exodus chapter 19, if you do that, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, that's what he's saying to them, then you will be a royal priesthood, a nation of royal priests, you see, and you will live forever. But they were not willing to do it. It doesn't mean that he rejected them. He just put them on the shelf, so to speak. He still continued to deal with them. And then ultimately he's going to bring them back all to himself. You see? And so, this is what you read here. And scriptures, make it very plain. Yet a lot of people, are not willing to understand that. They don't comprehend that. They don't perceive that. And then Jesus Christ continues in verse 44 of the same book. That is book of John chapter 6, he tells them also something else. He says, no man, not a woman, not a man, not anybody, no man come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You see, unless that happens, you see, nobody can come to me. You cannot just say, well, I accept Christ in my heart. That doesn't mean anything to him. If he didn't call you, if the Father didn't call you, you're just playing games. You can believe all you want, or you can do some good things too. That's fine. But that's not going to give you eternal life unless the Father called you. You see, you are not really of Christ. You know about him, but you don't know him, and he does not know you. A lot of people are living this kind of a lie, and the overwhelming majority of those so-called born-again, or those who call themselves Christians, in the past 2,000 years are living this kind of a lie. If the Father doesn't draw you, you're out. You cannot follow Christ. It's simple as that. And yet people don't believe it. But he said, the one that the Father draws, it's him that I will raise up at the last day. And if the Father didn't draw you, you're not going to be resurrected in the last day. You'll come up in the second resurrection. That also was explained thoroughly in the doctrine of heaven and hell. There are two resurrections. The first one is only for the saints. When he comes, you see, when his feet descend on the Mount of Olives, only the saints are going to be resurrected. And John makes it very plain in the book of Revelation that the rest of the dead live not until the 1,000 years of the reign of Christ on this earth are over. Only then all those who ever lived, including all the house of Israel, who ever lived before and did not obey God, they are all going to be brought back to life at that point. That's 1,000 years later in the second resurrection. And again, majority of people don't even know that. Because they've been fed lies, and what else do they know? They don't study the Word of God. They don't eat his flesh and drink his blood day and night. And therefore, there is no life in them, and yet they think that they are alive when they are actually dead. And so he made it very plain that only when the Father draws you, that's the only time when you can really come to him. And if not, you can't. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ is telling his own people at this point. You see? That unless the Father draws them, speaking to his own people, speaking to the people of Jerusalem, the people of Israel, the people throughout the entirety of the land where he was going up and down and preaching this very message. And he said, unless that happens, you're not going to be able to approach me. And Jeremiah, through the prophet Jeremiah earlier, he told them the very same thing. And they should have known it. You see, those who understood the word of God and walked in it, they understood all those things. But those who did not, now they just did not understand. They were walking like blind people. But in Jeremiah, God says to his people, as we read in chapter 30, in verse 18, thus says the Lord, speaking about Jesus Christ, as Paul made it very plain, that's, the God of Israel was Jesus Christ. Behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. And that's not what the Gentile religion called Christianity has been teaching for the past 2,000 years. They said, God chose us, he dropped you, you've got this new doctrine of replacement theology. You used to be people of God, now we are the people of God. You're all gone, you're all going to hell, and so forth. You didn't believe in Christ. You see, all lies, lies, lies. And people believe in them and walk in them. And most of them believe it, happen to be, without even their knowledge, the very people of Israel, but not think of themselves as Gentiles, you see, in the so-called Christian religion. And he says, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents, you know, despite of what anybody else says to the contrary. It's neither here nor there. And I will have mercy on his dwelling places. And that's what Paul was making it very plain to the Gentiles. All of Israel are going to be saved. God is going to bring all of them back. They're not lost. You know, they're just walking around, you know, in old places like blind people. In that sense, you know, you might say lost, but not lost spiritually, not lost eternally. You see, just like, you know, your kid, you go into the market and he takes his hand off your hand, you know, and he gets lost. What does it mean get lost? Well, he's just walking here and there and you look for him and then you find him. That's what God is saying to his own people. A lot of people don't understand what it means to be lost because they've been taught, you know, false doctrine. And so God says, I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to have mercy on them, and the city shall be built upon its own mound, speaking in specific about the city of Jerusalem. And the palace shall remain according to its own plan. Then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. That's the end, the destiny of Israel. You see? A lot of people don't know that. And their children, verse 20, also shall be as before, that is, many of them, and their congregation shall be established before me. This is Jesus Christ speaking to his own people. This is not the God of the Old Testament. Old harsh monster, you know, some people call him the Father. This is Jesus Christ. That's why we went through that series to show who and what is the true church of God, and the overwhelming majority of Christians do not know because they've been sold a pack of lies and they swallowed it all. And they still believe it to this very day. And a lot of people, oh, then call themselves the people of God and they have the Holy Spirit. Still in Babylon, in ignorance and in confusion about the entirety of the story. And so he says, I will glorify them, and they shall not be small. You know, the children also are going to be just like they used to be before, and their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all those who oppress them, and people have been doing it for 2,000 years. You see, in specific, the people of Judah, you see, and others who became Gentiles, obviously they were not persecuted in the same way, but many others, the true followers of Christ, were persecuted, and they were from all the nations of Israel. They knew that they're not Gentiles. They knew that they were Israelites. All those people in Northwestern Europe. And then, you know, they went to the British Isles and they came to the Americas. A lot of them knew their true identity, that they're Israelites and not Gentiles. You see? And he said, I'm going to punish all those who oppress them. And those who oppressed them thought, well, you know, we're doing Christ a favor. We're doing God a favor because they're rebellious. They, you know, reject Jesus Christ. And they don't recognize, which is an irony, that in reality, even the Jews, we're speaking about all the house of Israel, but even the Jews, even though they rejected Jesus Christ when he came in the flesh, they did not reject the God of Israel, who was also Jesus Christ. That's the irony of it. The Jews never rejected Jesus Christ. At least, you know, the religious Jews. And never did. And when they went to the synagogue, they worshipped Jesus Christ. They didn't know it. That was a blindness in part that fell upon them. And here he is standing in front of them in person, in the flesh. They did not recognize him, that he is the very God that came and married them in Mount Sinai. So they believed in that God that married them in Mount Sinai, but they didn't believe in him standing right there in front of them. You see? That was a blindness that fell upon them, and that's what they could not see. You know, there was a veil there. And when the veil is taken, as Paul made it very plain, then all of them are going to return to him. You see, and we're going to see that again here. And so he said, I will punish all who oppress them, and their nobles shall come, shall be from among them, and their governor shall come from their midst. And the governor of Israel, as you see through all the prophets, the one who is going to reign over all Israel, is the very one that came on Mount Sinai and married them and was their God and then stood in the flesh. Before them, that he's coming back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Savior. You see, that's where Christ came from. His own people. And he came to his own people. That's what he's saying here. Their governor shall come from their midst. Then I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach me. You see, speaking about their spiritual governor, Jesus Christ, and also about their king, as the scriptures make it very plain, King David is going to rule over all the house of Israel. You see, and the 12 apostles were given the reward by Jesus Christ to every single one of them reign over a tribe of Israel. God's talking in essence about all of them, but in specific
but the very Creator, the very Savior, the very Redeemer. And so he says, and their governor shall come from their midst, then I will cause him to draw near unto me, and he shall approach me. For who is this who pledged his heart to approach me, says the Lord? And yet everybody says, well, I gave my heart to the Lord. I chose Jesus Christ. I led him into my heart. And they don't understand it, that unless the Father draws you, you have no way of approaching God. You're just kidding yourself that you have a relationship with him. You see? That's in essence what the Apostle Paul was telling the Galatians when he was trying to explain to them the manner in which God called him and the manner in which it works, just like Jesus Christ said. No man can come unto me until the Father draws him, just like God himself said through the prophet, as we just read in Jeremiah. Who is he that dares approach unto me? If I don't call him, you don't come to me. You don't, go to the White House and knock on the door there and say, here I am, I want to see the president. If you have not been invited, you have no business being there and you would not be accepted in. And how dare you go over there and knock on the door and think that you're going to be accepted? That's what God is saying here. A lot of people don't understand that either, and they think, anybody who wants to call upon Christ, all they have to write here, some people give you this pamphlet, well, right here at the end, today, my name so-and-so, I accept Jesus Christ, and this is the date, and so forth, and from now on, you belong to Christ. And all these are lies. Unless the Father draws you and gives you to Christ, and then Christ is being formed in you by you eating his flesh and drinking his blood, that means following all of his instructions, obeying his laws and commandments, statutes and judgments and precepts, from the beginning of time until the end, you are none of his. You're just a liar and a deceived person. You may be sincere, nice person, moral person, good intentions, but you're still deceived. And you think that you stand, and you don't. And the Father doesn't accept you, and Christ does not work with you. You see, and you can, whatever you do, it's just, for your own physical benefit. You see? But it's not going to lead you to the end of the story, where Christ is going to be formed in you and become the mystery of ages, the hope of glory, fully formed in you. And so Paul is trying to explain that also to the Galatians. He says, talks about his background, how he was a great man in his background, in Judaism, in Jerusalem. He was raised at the feet of Gamaliel. He was, cream of the crop, Pharisee of the Pharisees. You see? As it says in verse 14, chapter 1 of Galatians, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. You see? So, you say all that was meaningless. But, verse 15, he says, when it pleased God, when it pleased the Father, the one that sends Jesus Christ to the Garden of Eden, to Mount Sinai, and now to them in the flesh, and then in the future again, when it pleased God, Elohim, who is a one person, is not a trinity. That's another, lie that was taught there. And again, we covered that in the first series about God. You see, what is God? What is the Spirit? And so forth. A lot of people are confused about it too, and they don't realize where the teachings came from. He says, when it pleased God, the Father, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his Son in me. You see, if God is three in one, why is he revealing the Son in him and not himself? You see, and the Holy Spirit. You see, the Father called Paul and revealed his Son, the one who sits by his right-hand side. You see, the one that he sent to marry Israel, the God of Israel, the one who was sent to stand before them in the flesh and then to die on the cross. You see, that's the second person of the Godhood, but it's not the Godhood in terms of the Trinity, because both of them are spirit beings. Both of them are eternal. That's what Jehovah means, was, is, and will be. The Jews don't pronounce that. It's a blasphemy to them. But that's his name, Jehovah, was, is, and will be. Eternal, that's what it means. And there's eternal, who is the El Elyon, the Most High, and there is another eternal, another spirit being who is an eternal. See, he's not an angel, he's an eternal also, because angels were created. So there were two eternals, you see, and then through the power of the Holy Spirit, they are creating and forming men in their image and in their likeness, and that Spirit dwells in us. That's his essence, that's his power. Pagans invented this doctrine of three gods in one. Anyway, we're not going to amplify that because we've already done that. For those who are interested in details, go back to that series, the first one, and you have the information there about the Spirit of God, about, you know, the so-called Trinity. And verse 15 again, but when it pleased God, Paul says, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. So I said, that's the process. He makes it very plain. If that doesn't happen that way, that's what Christ is saying. And no man can come to me unless the Father draws him. And that's what Moses was saying. That's what Jeremiah was explaining. That is the God of Israel speaking through Jeremiah. Who is he that dares approach me unless I call him? You see, God called Israel. Israel doesn't call itself. The nation does not call herself to a relationship with God. God called them. And to them, God says, as we read earlier in the book of Amos, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. You're the only one that I've chosen. I didn't choose all the others. And yet a lot of people, you know, think that they are the people of God and they choose themselves. There's no such a thing with God. And so this is what Paul is, you know, Paul is explaining. And this is what Christ was saying. No man can come unto me. And that's what he was telling his people. You see, they do not understand that. And I don't know, that was a very, very method in which he chose to deal with men. First, you know, he began with the father of the faithful, Abraham. Abraham didn't choose God. God chose him. You see, and then his father, his son Isaac, he chose him. He didn't choose Ishmael. And then he chose Jacob. He didn't choose Esau. You see? And then through him, all the nation of Israel, he chose them. They didn't choose him. That's what Christ was telling to his disciples. I chose you. You didn't choose me. We don't choose God. We don't choose Christ. He chooses us. And if he doesn't, we're none of his. We can play all the games that we want. You know, it may benefit us to a degree. You know, if you walk in the faith, in the truth, to the degree that we understand it. But that's as far as we go. There's no eternity beyond that. Unless the Father begins the process and chooses us and draws us to him and then plants in us, you know, his truth and his word, and reveals in us his Son who lives his life in us. You see, that's how the process works. Unless all that happens, we're not of his. We're not going to be there in the first resurrection, born into the family of God, as spirit beings, holy and perfect, just like he is, as John makes very plain. You know, but you read in 1 John, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. He said, well, presently we're not. You see, but it says when we are resurrected, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. You see, just like him, like father, like son. No father, you know, and mother, you know, that have a child ever, you know, bring forth into the world a monkey. They bring forth a child just like them. And that's a mystery of ages from the beginning. Let us create men in our image and in our likeness. And that's a story of this whole book. That is called the Bible, revealing all that in it. And the people who are ignorant and blind, especially when they choose only one segment of scriptures and forget the others, reject the others, they'll never know the whole story. And that's the way the devil works. Yeah, it gives you a mixture of truth, injects into it a lot of poison and error, and you think that you're doing okay. And he kills you with it. And that's the way, you know, the world works, unfortunately, to this very day. So, Christ made it very plain. No man can come unto me until the Father draws him. And Christ came to his own. As you read in the beginning of the book, you know, of John, chapter 1, verse 11, that he came to his own people, the very one that he married in Sinai. That's what it means to come to his own. I was his wife. He came to his wife. You see? And the leadership of his wife rejected him. And then the people were deceived later on to do likewise, while some of them continued to walk with him. And then when he came in the flesh, Jesus Christ, when he was an adult and he began his ministry, that's what he was telling others too. You read it in Matthew, in chapter 15, he was walking throughout the land, and suddenly he came to him, you see, and she wanted that is healing. And he was not paying attention to her. You read it in chapter 15, and beginning with verse 21. And so he replies to her, verse 24, but he answered and said, I, Jesus Christ, I, the God of Israel. Of course, she doesn't know that fully and does not fully comprehend that. But he says to her, I was not sent, that is, except, you see, he made it very plain to whom he was sent. He said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why? Because that's my wife. That's my people. So the father sent him to his people, to his wife, to redeem her, to deliver her. And he did. He died for her, and not just a matter of time, for the process to be fully fulfilled until he brings them all. And so you've got this whole period of time of 2,000 years. And many of them were brought back to him, but you know, a lot of them thought they were Gentiles, and they were not. They were Israelites. And of all those people in northwestern Europe, and then some Jews. From the beginning, they were all Jews, and after that, more Israelites too, because the disciples were sent there to the other tribes of Israel, you see. So he made it very plain to the Gentiles. I was not sent to the Gentiles. And people thought, why? Oh, yeah, he came to the Gentiles, you see, because he sent the Apostle Paul. Now we've got the Gentile religion. He said, no, this is not what happened. Oh, yeah, he grafted some, you see, just like he did always from the beginning of time. Oh, the household of Abraham also were circumcised, you see. They were not his family members, but all of them were grafted into his covenant, into his faith, into his way and path, you see. And then all the family of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, you see, they came also with the multitudes of Egypt that came with them, and they too were grafted. So the grafting has always been from the beginning of time. It's nothing new. And so what Paul was doing was just a continuation of the same story. Well, anyway, we're going to stop again here. And this is again Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until the next lesson.